What we're going to do today is we're going to experience interactive worship. We're going to experience something that is kind of based in last week's message when I said, you know, in James, we're told to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So in other words, what we're supposed to be doing is we're supposed to be obeying the scripture. So through the years, there's probably only been like two Sundays out of the last 40 years where I didn't preach on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So it's usually, you know, there were 10 lepers and 9 left and only one came back to say thank you. Or no matter what you're going through, the scripture teaches that give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And all those things are good. But today I want us to look at the 100th Psalm, Psalm 100, because it is in that we find directions for how to come together and how to give thanks to God. I went to Psalm 100, and I was going to write a sermon based on that and preach that today, but the more that I read it, the more that I looked at the background of it, I realized that it wasn't just a psalm to be taught, it was a psalm to be experienced. The title of that psalm is, This is a Psalm for Thanksgiving. It's not a psalm about Thanksgiving, it's a psalm for Thanksgiving. And so, I'm talking today about the protocol of Thanksgiving, the protocol of worship where the people come together to give thanks. And as we come together today, I want you to be aware that this is an experiment. It's experimental. We did it in the first service and it went great. I don't know how it's going to go, but I will say this. If it bombs, it's your fault, not mine, okay? I'm just going to put it on you. Because it's interactive, which means as we get our cues, we need to respond to what the psalm says. So if you got your Bibles, we can turn the lights up a little bit, Alexa. If you got your Bibles or your apps or whatever, we're going to put it on the screen. This is Psalm 100, and we're going to do it like an interactive thing. So people who come in real late, they're not going to know what's going on, but they'll catch on, hopefully, as we go. The 100th Psalm, and we're going to do it, like I say, I'm going to read 1 and 2, then you'll read 3, and then when we flip it over, I'll do 4 and you'll do 5. That's the whole psalm. That's the whole psalm. It's only 5 verses. Psalm 100, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to do it like a responsive reading, okay? How many of you came today to worship the Lord? Amen. All right. Then you're going to do that. You're going to do that. Ready? So here we go. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. I do 1 and 2, then you do 3. Ready? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Do that again. Ready? I think you can do way better. Here we go. I'm going to read. It says shout. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Hallelujah. You can be seated. We're going to do what this psalm says. And I know that some of these things will make some of you really uncomfortable. Maybe you've kind of grown up in spectator church or consumer church, or where you're just told from the time I was a little kid, I was told be quiet in church and all that. But if you follow this psalm, you can't be quiet today. If you do what this psalm says, you're going to make some noise. As a matter of fact, in the old Bible, it says, where it says, shout for joy to the Lord all the earth, that literally means, it comes from a word that in the old Bible was translated, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, how does shout and make a joyful noise get translated? And all that's translated from one word that word means to shout or to give a blast. To shout or to give a blast. Basically, this would be what was done when a king came into the presence of the people. You know, sort of like when the president walks in, the band will play Hail to the Chief. Well, when the king would walk in, people would shout with joy, and they would blow the shofar. Guess what I got right here? And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song today, and that song is Shout to the Lord, and that ought to get you ready. And if you want to stand, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. But it's hard to shout when you're sitting down. I don't know. Unless you're a bus driver of a school bus, right? But if you can shout to the Lord, you want to worship Him. There are some people here that were here for the first service, and you came back for more. And I love that. So come on and let's worship the Lord. This old song, you know it, and it's Shout to the Lord.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge,
hope I'm on here. I went to the Cleveland Cavaliers a week ago, got free tickets. And when we went there, they put us in a section called Loudville. Loudville is up in the upper decks, the nosebleed section, and it is expected that when you're up there, you'd be loud. Now, Isaac and I, we both went, and we were up there, and we didn't think Loudville was loud at all because nobody was there, but we got there an hour early. But once it started filling up, then those people went nuts. I mean, the Cavaliers totally destroyed the Detroit Pistons. It was just a sad, sad state of affairs. It's never good to be from Detroit, but that night it would have been totally shameful. And those people, the Cavs fans, and they were black and white, and we had some Hispanics sitting in front of us that didn't even speak English. But man, when something good happened, everybody was on their feet and they were yelling. I watched the Ohio State Buckeyes yesterday. 105,000 fans went, and the fans are called the 12th man. There's 11 people on the field, and the fans are so loud that when the quarterback is trying to make an audible play, his team can't hear him, and they'll mess up the play. And sometimes they'll get so confusing that the kicker will miss the extra point or the field goal because he's just distracted. And here's what I've come to realize is that when we praise the Lord, the enemy he doesn't know what to do with us when we really praise him. So here's what we're going to do, and we're going to do it, amen. We're going to do it Old Testament style. That means to shout or to blast on the trumpet. The King has come in, and our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has overcome all of hell and all of the universe, and he is on our side, and he loves us. And it says shout right there. Now, if you could shout for a basketball team or a football team, if you could shout, and some of you don't. Some of you go and you're just real quiet there. God bless you. I'm not. I am an emotional person. And usually if I go to a big sporting event, I am hoarse the next day, okay? Because I shout and yell. Well, you know what? I think that God loves it when we worship him exuberantly. When we worship him with our voices and with our hearts. And it's not just about making noise, but it needs to be a joyful noise. So here's what we're going to do. I want us to sing that chorus one more time. When we get to the end, I'm going to try to blow this thing. This is the shofar. And as I blow this, I want you to shout. Here's some things you can shout. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good, God. Hallelujah. Those are just some suggestions. But it says to shout with joy to the Lord. You're not shouting because you're mad. You're shouting because you're glad with joy. Ready? We're going to sing that chorus, and we're going to do it. Let's go.
Shout to the Lord on the earth and I see. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas to roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Here we go, ready? All praising with a shout, you ready?
Darkness flee. Sorry. the middle of the mystery. As I raise a hallelujah, fear you lost your hold on me.
God. Be absolutely 100% without a shred of a doubt sure that the Lord is God. The Lord comes from the Hebrew word for the name of God that he was given, and they weren't allowed to say it. Anytime you see the Lord in your Bible in the Old Testament, it's all capitals, it comes from this word. They weren't even allowed to speak it. It was Yahweh. When they would write it down, they wouldn't even use vowels. It was too holy to use vowels. They only used consonants. It was YHWH. We translated it to English. Yahweh. I mean, God's name was so holy. I mean, I hear some people say holy this or holy that, and it's something really profane, and it cuts me to the quick, because the Lord your God is holy. Be careful how you use the word holy, because that is a word that belongs to the Lord. He is holy. And Yahweh, and the other word is in the Hebrew, Elohim. That's the generic word for God. Like, you can use Elohim with a little g. It means the gods of all of the pagans and the gods that they worship and the idol gods and all those gods. But here is what the Hebrews believe. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Yahweh Elohim is the only God. There is no other God other than the Lord our God. And you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your God is Yahweh. And that he has been given a name which is above every other name. That at the name of, come on now, at the name of every and every shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Yahweh. He's been given the name that's above every other name. So they had Yahweh that they couldn't even say, but we can say that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the Greek, that's Adonai. That Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, is God. Oh, hallelujah today. Hallelujah today. We don't follow Muhammad. We don't follow any of those so-called prophets. We don't follow, why would we want to follow them when our Lord is God? I mean, the only one true God, our Lord, is God. If you believe that, would you just stand up and say amen real loud? And it's a reason to be thankful. Okay, you can sit back down. I just wanted to see, just checking. Now again, this is interactive, and we've come before him with joyful songs, and we've shouted, and I tried to blow the shofar, but my lips just weren't doing it today. But this is a protocol. Like, here's how you do this when you come into the Lord's presence. I know that we don't shout much. I know that shouting in church seems like a very foreign thing to a lot of us. But I grew up in a church. We were noisy rings, not just Nazarene. We were noisy rings. Sister White would just jump up in the middle of the song and sing hallelujah. And then Sister Goen, she would jump up, well, glory, she would say. And we were just accustomed to this interactive kind of worship experience. And we saw some incredible things happen. You know why? Because when you praise the Lord, Satan is thrown into confusion. You remember when Hezekiah was told to go before, and all of the alliance of all those kings and those kingdoms were coming against Israel. And Hezekiah, he met with God. The prophet told him, now, you go and send the choir first and send the band first. And they went out singing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And as they go out, the enemy became so confused, they started killing each other. How are we going to tear down the walls of Jericho, God? Well, I want you to go around it one time for 7 days. And on the seventh day, when you go around 7 times, I want you to blow the trumpet and shout, and the walls will fall down. I'm trying to teach you something today. See, no matter what's going on, you can praise the Lord. And the way that we fight our battles is different than the way that the world wages warfare. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not guns and knives and fists. The way that we fight our battles is through the name of Jesus Christ and the worship of the one true God, and that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And because our weapons aren't fleshly, they're mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds. We got to quit fighting people and start realizing that we have an enemy, and it is Satan, and this is how we fight him. And some of you go through the whole week. See, that's why it says, enter his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. See, because for the Hebrew, they were instructed and taught that praise isn't just something you do when you get to the temple. It's not just something you kind of do when you're at the synagogue. You're supposed to be doing this all week long. And so when you come to church, it's just a continuation of what you've already been doing. And so when I pull into the parking lot, I've already been praising the Lord on the way. And when I get out and I walk into the church, oh, I'm going to enter his gates with thanksgiving because I'm already thankful because my heart is overflowing with thanksgiving to the Lord. And I'm going to walk into the foyer. That's the gates. I mean, that's, you walk in there and you're already praying. Well, can you imagine what would happen if we came to church and we didn't need Pastor or Matt or the praise team to cheerlead you into worship, but you came in already? What would happen if you came in with your hands up and you're just worshiping the Lord before you get there? And then once you walk into the foyer, praise the Lord, how are you? Praise God, how are you? Oh, so good to see you. Praise Jesus, and you're praising the Lord. And then when you come into the courts or the sanctuary, you're going to come in there with praise and worship because your heart is already there. You've been doing it all week long. Oh, God, help us to learn the power of praising you and living in an attitude of worship. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell the Lord that he is good. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. How many of you believe that we serve a good God? So if you got this thing, I mean, I just jump all over the place, but I put this in your, I put this, had this made for you today. And we've already said, number one, you want to shout with joy. Number two, you want to worship with joyful songs. Not funeral dirges, but joyful songs. Joy is way more attractive than sorrow and sadness. Sometimes we have sorrow and sadness, and that's okay. But come before the Lord with these joyful songs. Thank you, Lord. And then know that Yahweh is Elohim. He made us, and we are the sheep of his pasture. What does that mean, we're the sheep of his pasture? You know, David was a shepherd, and he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I should never lack anything." It means that if he's our shepherd and we're his sheep, he takes care of us. He leads us to still waters. He takes us to green grass. He protects us when the enemy comes. And I've got a couple people that I've asked to share about how that the shepherd has taken care of them. I want to start with Brenda. Brenda, would you come up? And we're going to do that right now. So give attention to Brenda. And then Amanda. Yeah, there she is. Come on up and get ready.
Well, I'm very happy to be asked this morning to give a word of praise to the Lord for what he's done for me. Mom brought us to church as kids from the time we were little, so I grew up in church. But when I got married, I kind of got away from it, you know, had three children and was kind of distracted by life. So I did get away. But then after my third child was born, he was just a little toddler, I started having such severe anxiety attacks that I could not leave my house. It was so bad. I could not watch television. I couldn't read. Anything would start an attack. So it was hard for me to take care of my family. The children, the two oldest, were going to church at that time. The church bus would come by and pick them up every Sunday morning. And the church pastor or the bus pastor came by at least once a month and invited me to church. And of course, I always had an excuse not to go. That was my time. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to give it up. But these anxiety attacks got so bad that I just felt in my heart the Lord saying, you know, I want you to come back. So one Sunday morning I did. I went back to church. I took my little white Bible that I had gotten for Easter many years ago, and I sat in the back of the church, and I was flipping through my Bible, just talking to God. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I felt the Lord talking to me and saying, Brenda, I want you back. And I felt in my heart that's what I needed. So the Lord and I had a conversation, and I got right with him right then and there. The only thing was, back in those days, ladies, do you remember when we had to wear dresses and skirts and all that stuff when we came to church? Well, I had a skirt. That was it. I was wearing it that day. And I told the Lord that, well, you know, okay, I'll come. And I'll wear that skirt every single Sunday, but I really don't want to, but I will. And I'm flipping through the Bible this whole time. And at that point, my eyes went down to the Bible, and I was at Matthew 6, and I looked at verse 28, and I started reading it. It caught my attention. It says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" I said, okay, God, maybe that's meant for me. So I went home, and then that very next week, my friend called me up on the phone, and she says, "Brenda, I'm cleaning out my closet. I have a lot of clothes. You want them?" I said, "Sure, I do." That started 20 years of getting clothes. I did not have to buy a thing for 20 years. God clothed me like the lilies of the field.
Praise God. Praise God.
Just to tell you what a sense of humor he has. A couple weeks after that, my next door neighbor called me up and she says, "Brenda, my daughter is going to be in rehab for 6 months. She's got a closet full of clothes. You want to wear them while she's in rehab?" Really? Who but God would do that, you know? So he's like saying, "Yep, it was me. It was me." He is so good. And not only that, I just want to tell you that from that day I went back to church, I didn't have another anxiety attack.
Wow.
That was
Praise
it.
Praise God.
God is so good.
I wrote mine down because a mother of four has a bad memory. Many of you remember our desperate pleas for prayer back in February for our oldest daughter, Faith's diagnosis of type 1 diabetes. To say her diagnosis was a shock is an understatement. She was slowly losing weight, along with some of the typical signs of diabetes that were easily shrugged off as depression from being home from school, thanks to the pandemic, and what we thought was just a growth spurt. Little did we know she would be poked and prodded at Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital for 4 days, two of which was spent in the children's PICU. This, by far, was the scariest moment we have ever faced as parents. If you know me well, I try my hardest to do all the things right, or things that I think are right anyway, such as having a well-balanced diet, limiting treats, lots of fruits and veggies, and so on. So when we were told she had diabetes, it was a very tough pill to swallow, and still can be. But I truly feel like God was preparing me for this for years. We have tried all the fad diets, like keto and paleo and such, so we were pretty well-versed in low-carb, low-sugar ways of eating. That was the easy part. The hard part of having a child with type 1 diabetes is becoming a nurse overnight. No one tells you how hard it's going to be once you're released from the hospital. They try to prepare you as best they can with a crash course in diabetes management by sending you home with a bag of needles and insulin and a few follow-up phone calls. It was hard. I was sad, but mostly I was angry, very angry at God. The darkest days of my life so far was the first 8 weeks or so after her diagnosis. Physically holding your child down no less than 5 times a day for insulin shots was absolutely awful. She would cry. We would cry. Satan was having a field day in our house. One morning in the shower, I let God have it. I yelled at him, and then I sobbed in his arms. He knew exactly how I felt, And I know he was okay with me being angry, because I'm sure he was too. He was sad right there along with me. But it's pretty amazing how he can change your thoughts with just one intense encounter. I walked out of that shower ready to tackle this disease head on. And since then, we have, by his grace and guidance. This past summer, Faith was put on an insulin pump along with her glucose monitor. The technology they have created is incredible. Instead of up to 15 pokes a day, 15, she has maybe one.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. We change her pump location every 3 days and her monitor every 10. It has freed her from daily emotional and physical pain, along with just letting her feel like a kid. Diabetes doesn't define Faith. She's a normal kid that just so happens to have diabetes. This past week, we had our 9-month follow-up, and by the grace of God, she was given a beautiful report. All blood work came back normal. Mm. She's still diabetic. But it sounds kind of ironic, but I do thank him for her diagnosis, because it's a manageable disease and not terminal. And she's doing fantastic.
Mm. Hey. We started doing something at our house at Thanksgiving time, and the kids know we're not going to eat anything until everybody says what you're thankful for. And there's really too many people here to do that today, but I'm wondering if we could have 3 people unplanned. Now, you have to come up to the microphone, because people listen live stream. They need to be able to see and hear you, and it's harder when, you know, you're elsewhere in the sanctuary. But and here's another thing. We've had a couple of ladies. I would love to see a man get up here and tell us what you're thankful for. I mean, it's not that. I mean, I just want to hear some dads and some husbands also. So if there would be 2 or 3 that would just say, I am thankful for, and just fill in the blank. Why don't you come down here right now? I know I'm really risking it right here, because I know our teens, any of you guys, just come up to the mic and just tell us, what are you thankful for? Come on, don't make us wait. We are live right now. All right, come on down, Nikki. We miss you guys. They moved to Florida. And if you're going to do it, would you mind coming down here to the front seat while she's going? Come down here and sit, and you'll be next. We have 2 more. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Brian. I knew you would do that. Come on. Get ready. Yeah, you, Brian. He's my roomie. We were roomies in Guatemala. And is there 1 more? I don't care gender-wise, lady, man, whatever. Come on and get ready to praise the Lord. Anybody? Oh, good. Thank you, Lisa. Wonderful. All right, go ahead, Nikki.
Fair warning, I'm going to cry. I miss all of you, and I want to say thank you for all of you guys, even despite us not being here anymore. This past week, if you don't know, my dad passed away, and the overwhelming amount of love that you guys have shown my mom and us has been a blessing, and I really appreciate it. And I appreciate, like I said, even being in Florida, we still get phone calls and Facebook messages and text messages checking on us. Thank you for always loving me and my family and my annoying, obnoxious children. Please continue, like I said, just to keep us in our prayers. It's been a rough week, so.
Amen. We love you.
I am the voluntold.
That's right.
I have a lot to be thankful for as of recently. For those of you who don't know, we moved out of Bedford a while ago, and while it has been very difficult adjusting to a life that's in Green, Ohio, far, far away from here, on the other side of Summit County, I work in Twinsburg, so I wake up every day, drive in early. It's been difficult, but it's been a great blessing for us. We didn't have to wait long to sell our house, and I have a great brother-in-law and sister-in-law who have opened up their house to us, and we don't We don't pay anything to live with them. They've just been absolutely amazing, just servants of God and stewards of the blessings that God has given them.
Yeah.
And though it is difficult to wake up early, I already wake up early in the morning so that I can move boxes, but to wake up earlier and have to drive into work and drive through traffic. I didn't drive through traffic for years, and I forgot what it was like. Everybody would complain about traffic, and I was just like, it's not that bad. But now I'm back in it, and it's absolutely horrible, and people can't drive. They should all be reprimanded and put at home. But driving to and from work, going through all of that, but then seeing, like, my daughters have had a rough time, I mean, as a lot of our kids with the pandemic, homeschooling, everything else, and they just had a rough time at school, and then to see, like, green schools, it makes it very difficult for Rachel and I as parents to try to pick, you know, what are we supposed to do next? Where are we supposed to go? And one of the stories that I keep on telling my daughters and my wife is that right now our kids are at a great school. I have, you know, a burden on us, and it's a burden to be so far away from our church family. And I do say church family because this is far more than just a church that we go to. This is a church that we are a part of. You guys are part of our blood as a family member, and we make the sacrifice to drive up every Sunday, not because it's our obligation or because we have to, because it's something that we want to do. We do it because this is home for us.
Yeah.
You know, these are our four walls. This is the place that we come to feel loved, not only by all the people that are here, but by Jesus Christ, who has given us our home in this church. And though it is difficult to drive to work and drive to church and see how great it is for our family, we just keep on praying. Every single day I pray that the Lord will lead us to our next home. And I know with faith, because I know that he took care of us with selling our home, I know that he took care of us with providing a place for us to live, I know that he will provide us with a place for our new home.
Sure he will.
And it will be the perfect place.
Amen.
Where we can still be... That's my drum section. Where we will still be at home, in our home, and at home in our church home. Thank you.
Oh, good job. You'll do fine.
Okay. Well, most of you know that in January of 2020, I lost Rick. Without all of you guys, I would not have gotten through it. I guess the thing I said mostly was, okay, God, now what? Now what? I felt like my whole life just disappeared with him. And in the last almost 2 years, God has given me a purpose. He has given me a job and a promotion. And he's given me a lot more strength. But the most thing he did is he brought me back home. Rick and I moved to Ravenna. We moved to Ravenna 10 months before he died, and I felt very alone out there. pandemic started in March, and I was at home doing a Bible study, Beth Moore, and the study was on hope.
Oh, yeah.
Hope.
Good.
So as I was reading that Bible study, I realized, you know what, God has a plan for me. He didn't just have a plan for Rick and I. He had a plan for my life, too. And so I'm just glad to be home, and I thank all of you.
Good. I love that. I love people talking about, you know, God gave me a home with his people. And Debbie and I came as new pastors 8 years ago, almost 9 years ago. Just over eight. And I told the people who were here, like, our first Sunday, that it's sort of like hiring a stranger to run your family reunion. You know, you don't know people, you don't know the history. But now, as we've been here 8 years, you know, I feel like I'm at least the weird uncle that we've been adopted by a wonderful family, and we love you. And all these things these people have been saying is an attribute of this church to embrace and to love. And I hope if you don't have a church home, or those of you who are watching live stream, if you don't have a church home, and you live in our area, you can attend here or just keep watching us on the live stream. We're glad that you're part of us. And if you wouldn't mind, if you're on Facebook, I know you can comment, but give us a shout out, you know, and let us know how and if we're helping you. And finally, why should we worship him? And there's three reasons that he gives. He says in that last verse, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever." I love that. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So the reason that we're thankful is because we have a good God. Amen? Is God good? God is good? All right. Now, some of you weren't ready, so we're going to do that again. Ready? God is good? And all the time? Oh, that's so good. He's good and he's loving. He's loving. First, people say, well, I like Jesus okay, but I don't like God. And they're talking about the Old Testament versus the New Testament. But even in the Old Testament, David recognized God as loving and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, that our God is a loving God and that our God is a faithful God. He's eternally faithful. I mean, things may change, the world may change, we change, but God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never wakes up in a bad mood. He never forgets to take care of us. We're always on his heart and on his mind. It says that we are written on the backs of his hands. I love that. Do you know your name is tattooed on the back of God's hand? And he remembers you always, never forgets us. What a wonderful God. He's good, loving, and faithful. And here's what I want you to do, and then we're going to sing our final song. On the back of your fill-in-the-blank, there is a prayer. This is on the Bedford Facebook Prayer and Praise page, okay? And you can find that on Facebook. Just go Bedford Nazarene Prayer and Praise. And this is included there for this week. And it says, and it's got some great stuff. And you can share your praises and prayers, your prayer requests. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. No matter what you face, God's goodness and mercy will never leave you. Praise his name. In fact, he even prepares blessings for you in the middle of hard seasons. How many of you have had God bless you in the middle of a hard season? Would you just hold up a hand? Amen. He's so good. In fact, he even prepares blessings for you in the middle of hard seasons, but these truths aren't always easy to remember, which is why giving thanks matters. Gratitude helps us focus on the only one who is able to turn our problems around for his glory and our good. So right now, let's take a minute to pause and thank God for all he's done in our lives. A Thanksgiving prayer. Would you mind standing? And let's pray this together, all right? Let's pray this aloud. Ready? A prayer of thanks. God, you are good and your steadfast love endures forever. Even in the hardest seasons, I always have a reason to worship you. Thank you for giving me victory and abundant life in Jesus Christ, although I don't deserve it. You shower me with unconditional love and forgiveness. No matter what the future may hold, I will shout for joy because you are with me. You comfort me and bless me in the presence of my enemies. Nothing compares to you, and no weapon can stand against you. In all things, I am more than a conqueror through you. Be glorified through me. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart bless your name. I want to praise you with my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Is God good? God is good? And all the time? And let's sing about that right now.
Love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness. So good with every breath that I
God been good to you? Has he been good? Is he a good God?
Amen.
Well, as we get ready to go today, I'm hoping that you'll take this with you, the 100th Psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are the sheep, his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.